Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing on my coverage from Augmented World Expo 2026, I'm going to be digging into some of the different aspects of the open, interoperable standards and things that I find very helpful for where things are going here in the future of XR. So today's interview is with Carol Silverman and Dario Laverde. Dario I've known for like well over a decade. He used to be the HTC developer relations key point of contact. And so I'd like literally run into him like at almost every single conference that I went to. And Carol, I met a number of years ago as well. She's been involved in both the film industry, but also making this immersive documentary about her mother who survived the Holocaust. And so she's still in the process of developing and working on that piece. But what they were showing there at the playground for Augmented World Expo was really quite interesting, just because Dario had this whole idea of let's try to make one application using OpenXR. So to create like a single API, and to be able to put it on all these different headsets and to be able to have like a local peer-to-peer network to be able to have an immersive experience that doesn't require any sort of like outside internet or anything. And so really compelling use case, but also on all these different headsets and just like as a philosophical idea of how can you really push the limits of interoperability. So I really appreciate a lot of that work. Dario had been working on a lot of the different things that were not working with OpenXR and making all these different blog posts and doing a lot of really great work of pushing forward all these different companies to kind of get their act together to be able to have like OpenXR actually be interoperable. And so I feel like this is one of the experiences that they're able to make that can create this interoperable experience. So they had these four headsets. They had everything from like this chess game, then checkers, like four-person chess, four-person checkers, cards. And they had this kind of like very interesting like dodgeball game where you'd like move your head and your body and it would move this kind of like little tabletop avatar back and forth. And you'd like pick up these little balls and throw them at other people with a kind of throwing motion. So it was kind of like an interesting kind of like abstracted dodgeball experience that they had created too, which was kind of fun and interesting to play with other folks. So yeah, but lots of really interesting larger OpenXR, open interoperable ideas within this conversation, but also like just trying to get a sense of where the industry is at and where it's going. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Carol and Dario happened on Wednesday, June 17th, 2026 at the Augmented World Expo in Long Beach, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Carol Silverman and I'm an XR creator. I worked on a piece, a narrative piece about my mother, and now Dario and I are working on a game, and I have some other projects in the works as an artist and writer.
Hi, I'm Dario Laverde. I was working at HTC Vive for 12 years, and now I'm going to be practicing what I preached and helped with developers for all this time, and I decided to create this fun four-player game as an example of cross-platform, cross-device, and that's what I'm doing.
Nice. So maybe you could each give a bit more context as to your backgrounds and your journey into XR.
I have been a set decorator for film and television for over 30 years. I have four Emmy Awards for Boardwalk Empire. And my partner Dario worked for HTC. And some people see VR and are immediately like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I have to do it now for the rest of my life. And that's how I felt about it.
Well, I happened to be working at HTC when VR came. I was there as developer relations for their phones. And then when we partnered with Valve, that became a journey. I didn't think I'd be that 12 years at HTC. The reason I was there so long was it was that interesting because of VR. And it's just been an amazing ride. I think being in this industry, it's been really inspiring. It's really, to me, it's about opening up the imagination. And this is why I need to be on the other side, be a creator, and continue to promote XR.
Yeah, and just to follow on, you were, what was your title there? Was it like developer relations, or what was the specific role that you were doing again?
You know, developer relations engineer, and then I wound up being the director of developer relations. So it's been very interesting, very satisfying, no regrets. It was just time to depart and now to be independent and take all that I've learned there and apply it in real life.
Nice. So we're here at Augmented World Expo, and we're at the booth of the Fun for Player. Is that the name of the company, or is that the name of the experience?
Game. The name of the company is Stay Warm Studio, and it's exciting to be having a booth. It's been really, really good to see what the reactions are. Again, right now we're still previewing what's going to be a beta, a public beta soon, and we're still getting feedback that we've done for the past year. We've been getting feedback from the very beginning of the game. In fact, when I first started this game, it was just going to be a four-player chess game. And because of the early feedback, which is why I recommend all developers do as you're designing the game, it's now expanded to several board games, including an original game that we've designed.
Yeah, and so I'm just curious to hear a bit about the origins of this project and how it came about.
Well, Dario has always liked four-player chess, so that's what he said. He wanted to start to make a game that was four-player chess. And then we felt like we looked at all the board games on all the stores, and it seemed like it needed to be more. So we added checkers, which there is four-player checkers, and we added cards because people love to play cards, and dominoes because, you know, dominoes. And then Dario had a brainstorm for this mini dodgeball, which is like the funnest, strangest game. I've never seen anything like it, and it's really fun. It's just weird.
You're sort of moving your head and kind of leaning back and forth in order to move these sort of tabletop characters as you're kind of pinching and throwing. And so there's this kind of interesting abstraction of the body as you move your body and throwing. So, yeah, it was really quite fun.
Right. And it opens up the imagination for different similar games, different types of sports. And we're getting really good reaction from it. The other highlight I want to make is that since we're also co-located, we have a co-located mode. Right now, we're actually running this offline. It's peer-to-peer. It's very suitable for LBEs operators to be in. And we've gotten some interest in possibly licensing some of the games to have this four-player on tables at venues.
Can you elaborate on, like, how are the headsets communicating to each other in terms of, if it's offline, then how do they know where each of them are at?
Well, it's a peer-to-peer with one of the devices being the host, the server. And actually, the host of the game who invites people to join the game is deciding on which game to play. So it's naturally the server from a networking point of view. And you can do discovery of that server through networks discovery, and you can actually connect. And there's really, it's a hands-off. Less friction, the better. You don't even have to be online. Of course, the default mode will be online because we want remote players to connect with each other. It's the idea of having families who are spread around the world to connect and continue their game night.
What have been some of the reactions so far here at AWE?
People seem to really like it. They're surprised by four-player chess. We haven't been playing any serious games, which would be cool to try and do that, but we haven't had time to do it. But I think people appreciate we have this goal of being more frictionless. Like, you open the game, like you're opening a game box or your chessboard or putting out your pieces, and you could play. Like, some games, or many games, I feel like you open them up and you have this UI and you just think, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here. How do I get to the game? How do I get into it? And our idea is that you open it and you're in it. And you can have people who don't do VR, who aren't interested in VR, who say, you know, my nephew put me on a roller coaster, I've done VR and I don't want to do it again. Well, try this. This is exactly what you're familiar with in life.
Nice. And so maybe talk a bit about the cross-platform, or like, what are the unique considerations for that?
Highlight one of the reasons that I got inspired to do this. OpenXR. That's why we need standards. That illustrates how I can take the same APK and actually literally put it on different manufactured devices. In fact, not just these, but the upcoming ones. I was just at a hackathon this weekend put by Google, Project Aurora from RexReal, and I just took that same APK and it worked. So that really says a lot about why you need standards. And also, to be honest, the use of Unity, it made it very easy to port it to the Apple Vision Pro, which doesn't have OpenXR. But the same cross-platform libraries that they use makes it easy to port. And we plan to also bring it to the Sony PlayStation VR. And it's going to be easier for users to reach other users in other headsets. And one of the reasons for that is because we don't like the problem with social networks or any network game is finding users and having to go through matchmaking. And in our experience, when we try all these other board games that are online, it's always being interrupted by kids or people who are just...
What's that?
Strangers, like a lot of these games. Some of them you could be matched with strangers on the Discords, or they're just open and whoever wants to play that game in that minute, they just come in and maybe they're cool and maybe they're strange children jumping on your head. You know, so we didn't want that.
So you literally have to invite your friends and family. We're not making a matchmaking system at all.
Yeah, and maybe you could just describe some of the headsets you have here.
Sure.
We have the Pico, and we have...
Wait, which version of the Pico is this?
This is a Pico 4 Ultra, and that's a Samsung Galaxy XR, and we have two Quest 3s.
Nice. And so were there any other sort of gotchas or hitches that you ran into in terms of like having to customize it? You know, OpenXR, the dream is to write it once and it works on everything. Was that pretty much what the case was, or did you have some tweaks that you had to make?
Some tweaks were to the Android manifest. I don't want to get too technical, but I think using Unity's philosophy of trying to make sure that OpenXR works across, having represented Vive on the OpenXR team group, like the Kronos group, I've learned where to watch for situations where there might be problems. So far, the good news, since I brought up a lot of issues in the past and in my blogs, is that they've been all addressed. The bad news is it's not enough just to get it running across all the devices, because now I've yet to go through the process of publishing in all the stores, which presents slightly other issues that we might break my single APK philosophy. But I'll definitely get back to you on what my findings are when my plan is to try to roll it out around the same time as much as possible, obviously, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, a big theme that I'm seeing this year in terms of like we're at a point where the hyperscalers like Meta are getting out of XR to a certain extent. I mean, I say that in a way that they're kind of rolling back some of their own first party apps that they're doing. Also seems to be like social VR platforms like Rec Room and Horizon World shutting down. So there's a bit of a waning, kind of a weird liminal space that we're in. And so just curious to hear some of your thoughts or the reflection of like how you're kind of reading the winds of what's happening right now in the XR industry and how to kind of orient yourself as we move forward. And there's some things that are ending, but are other things that are beginning. It seems to be like with open standards and, you know, there's Godot that's also an open source that's out there. So just curious to hear some of your thoughts of this ecosystem of where we're at. It seems like a lot of seeds have been planted, but just not sure what's going to grow to fruition with where everything's at. So just curious to hear where each of you are kind of thinking and reflecting on the state of the XR industry.
To me, it's a good sign. I think we needed to go through that phase where there were gated communities. And to me, one of my inspirations for this specific app is to make it open enough so that people can bring their own avatars, their own rooms, using open standards. We joined the Metaverse Standards Forum for that reason. And hopefully we can actually have this, not just these spaces that are small four person. By the way, we can add like four other viewers to the game. But imagine being able to connect this to another group, like a peer-to-peer. And there's actually a standard for that, open P2P as well. So there's all these standards that I'm going to embrace and continue promoting.
To me, that's part of what I like about our game being more of a closed environment, is that it isn't taking advantage of something that might disappear. This game is this game, and it's not reliant on a larger ecosystem that could disappear, because these communities grow really intensely around these platforms and then they disappear and people are just crushed, you know? And you could say that it's wrong of the companies to end their platforms, but that's what happens. And that is, you know, this is, I think, the third cycle of XR being widely adopted or in the public consciousness. And they come and go. And this was a kind of a big hype cycle. I think another one, like there was one in the 90s. And I think there was another one in the 80s. And, you know, it's going down a little bit. That cycle is kind of ending. But what is amazing about the community is that everyone believes in it. And everyone here works so hard and they believe so much in this technology, in this medium, whatever side of it, medical, in enterprise, education, and they're going to keep going. And I think that's where the future is, the things that are not glamorous, but where there's a real opportunity for penetration in the market. And I think that actually, as people become exposed to it in these use cases, it will come back in a stronger way to the general, more general population, because people are going to see how it is truly useful and can have a positive impact on their lives.
Nice. And I know you each mentioned some other projects that you have. I'm just invite you to kind of share whatever else you want to share about some other things that you've either done previously or other things that you have working on coming up here in the future.
Well, we worked together on a project that was about my mother's life, who was a Holocaust survivor and did not say anything. So she didn't want to tell her story. I think her story is worth telling. So I'm still working on that, trying to tell the story the right way. And then plastic waste is a very big cause for me. The single-use plastic waste crisis that is really afflicting the world. So I have an idea for a project where plastic is kind of being shed off your body, and it's placing the blame on the producers who have foisted it on all of us, whether we ask for it or not. So I have that. And those are the projects on my mind.
My other big interest is music, and I'm going to reveal that I have a plan to make a piece about Beethoven. It's called The Third Movement, and it's going to be a story as well as immersed interactions. But that's a further plan out.
It's a big, ambitious project about Beethoven, so we have to work up to that one.
In other words, part of the technical reason was hand tracking wasn't good enough. It's getting there. So I hope to pursue that. What else did we want to say?
Yes, those are the ones we have in mind right now. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I have a music visualization of Beethoven's Fifth using the Circle of Fifths. I'll have to show you after the podcast here. So, yeah, well, I guess as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear what each of you think the ultimate potential of XR might be and what it might be able to enable.
I think I kind of covered that in what I said about this amazing group of people that works so hard. And I think that where the penetration is going to come from is education, science, enterprise, training, and medical. I mean, the medical use cases are really incredible. And I think that's where the future is. And our technology is really embedded there already, and it's just going to grow.
What I've always thought that my answer would be it opens up imagination. But now I'd like to add that I'm optimistic because really most people have not experienced it. Carol and I do a lot of pop-ups where we have first-timers to VR experience it. We've done it at galleries. We've done it at the Woodstock Film Festival. I really recommend anyone who's in this industry to really embrace the magic of the first-timer. Just like we've all had our first time, I think we should be able to go out and to schools, museums, and promote VR. Most people haven't experienced it yet. So it's very wrong to say that we know what the audiences want just from the 10 years when it's still just beginning. And I'm very optimistic that it's going to really open a lot of people's minds and imagination to create really things that we haven't thought of.
Nice. Is there anything else that Stefan said you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
It's what Dario said, like seeing people who you kind of have to cajole into it. They're like, oh, I don't want to try it. I don't understand. I don't like this. I have to put a thing on my head. And you get them into it. And if you put them in the right piece, they're really moved and they come out of it and they're saying, I didn't know VR could be like that. And they're so happy they got to see it. And you're still getting these people who a few of them will do that thing and say, this is incredible, and I now dedicate my life to it. We've had a few people do that, and it's like, it's so moving when that happens.
I concur. I think it's time to look at the optimistic side of things, despite what's happening in the world and people losing their jobs. It's still, the magic is still there. I still remember the first time I tried it, which was at Valve's demo room.
Oh, right, yeah. I toured the Valve headquarters, but didn't get a chance to see the demo. It's one of the vast history of VRs, of people getting their mind blown in the demo room. So, yeah, can only imagine.
I remember very clearly after having an experience and just walking out of their office, going into the elevator, I actually touched the elevator thinking, is this real? And it's that's one thing that just hard to describe. You have to put people in a headset.
Bad news is the expo hall is closed. Good news, all your awards start at 6 o'clock up at the main stage. See you there.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for both Carol and Dario for joining me on the podcast. We've collided many times at conferences, festival circuit, and in VR chat even. And so, yeah, it's been great to be able to see some of your projects here at AWE and kind of dive in and be able to chat about it. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast. So thank you.
Thank you, Ken. It's really nice to spend some time with you. Thanks.
Thanks, Kent.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast and for keeping the faith for where this industry is going here in the future. I feel like this is a kind of weird time for everybody in the industry. And if you believe in where this technology may go and that it may be able to bring about positive social change and transformation in the world, then please do consider supporting me here at the Voices of VR podcast, trying to navigate these dimensions of transformation and positive change for where all this might be going. So if you enjoy the coverage that I'm doing here, then please do consider becoming a member at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.